Welcome, friends, to the Sasquadcast, the podcast all about Camp Susqua. Camp Susqua is a nonprofit Christian ministry located in north central Pennsylvania, and we exist to help you experience your Creator. Today on the podcast, we have a chat with Dan Makowski. Dan started as a camper in the 1960s and went on to serve as a staffer and a program director. He stuck around for decades, so expect to hear about an all-star wilderness trip taken to Lake Temagami in Canada, what made Chief Bob such a great camp director, and why our staff love to stick around camp as much as possible. Thanks for joining us today around the proverbial campfire. Let's listen in. We are here with Dan Makowski, and I've heard the name several times. I worked on summer staff with a couple of your nephews, I believe, but haven't gotten to meet you personally until today. So I just thought it'd be neat to hear how you first got connected to Camp Susqua.
It's a good question because I was 12 years old. So I think it actually was through our church in New Jersey, because probably our pastor came as a chaplain. Okay. And so that was our connection. And a group from our church came. So I started out here in the middle age group, Redmond at that time, and that was my first year here in 1965.
So what kept you coming back over the years?
His mother forced him to come.
Yes. It was to get me out. What kept me coming back? Well, of course, I loved the experience. I loved being at camp. And from that time, I came for 1 week. The next year, I came for 2 weeks. And after that, I came for 4 weeks at least until I could be a worker and stay longer. So my goal every summer was to be at camp as long as I could. And then we came back in the winter because I was here for the first winter blast, and attended many of those as well.
So in your time on staff, what would you say was one of the most memorable experiences that you can recall?
One that you can share with the general public, please, Dan.
Yes, yes.
Dave, he's shared a few with me that I would prefer not to go on our
podcast. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is an edited podcast, so we'll be sure to cut out all the worst stories.
Yes. Well, boy, it's hard for me to recall one particular memory. I went on a canoe trip that was sponsored at that point by two of the leaders here at camp. That was a highlight. We went to Lake Temagami in Canada.
Oh, that I've heard about that one. But
yeah. Cheater canoe trips where you also had a motorboat that towed you guys?
No.
Okay.
This was with Paul Emmerich and I think Jim Strickland, and there were 10 of us, and we paddled the lakes at Temagami, which I believe is where Chief Bob actually did some of his original canoe trips. That's why we went there.
Right. Yeah, we recently cleared out a filing cabinet from the Susqua Lodge attic, and I found an itinerary from that very trip. And I know it's been several years since we've run it. So,
yes. Several decades since we've run it.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, there were 10 of us, and we went up in a pickup truck. So there were 8 of us laying in the back and several in the front. And it's a quite a long drive, actually. So.
Things that we would not be able to get away with today.
You would not, for sure.
I always think the 8 hours we drive to Saranac Lake for the current canoe trip is long. And then when I think of when I hear stories about the Temagami trips, like
it's 600 miles.
Yeah, it's a long way up there.
Yeah.
And a border crossing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, it didn't matter back then.
Back then. Yeah.
But, I think my memory, more than an event, my memory is really more just opportunities. You know, that's what I'm always so thankful for is the opportunities that I was given here by primarily Chief Bob to develop leadership. I tell the story even in the schools I've worked in, how he didn't hold failures against you. Mm. And so they were kind of part and parcel of dealing with boys. And he was skilled at that. And so you could do foolish things and it didn't disqualify you from future leadership opportunities. And when you did foolish things, you were almost always caught. He just seemed to be everywhere where foolishness was.
He had a way about him to find it.
Yes.
The directors have access to the tunnels.
Right, Dan. Exactly, yeah. So
that sounds a lot like a later director, the name of Dave Swift.
Yeah, always, he could find that, yes.
So you mentioned that you've worked in schools before. How do you think your time at Susquehanna prepared you to be, you know, superintendent of a Christian school?
I think my time at Susquehanna actually is what led me into Christian schools because I saw the value of mentorship. I benefited personally from the value of mentoring and was looking for an opportunity to continue to do that. And so Christian schooling seemed to be a place. So I went into Christian schools more for that reason than because I loved my discipline, you know, that I taught. But it was the opportunity to work with young people and mentor them. And so it kind of led me in my career path.
Right.
Dan, I'm going to interject for a quick second, Dave. Sorry. Back to Temagami canoe trip. Dan, you mentioned Jim Strickland and Paul Emmerich. Do you remember anyone else that went on that trip? Think of any other names? You know, Jim Strickland's our neighbor.
Yeah.
He lives right down the road.
Yeah, yeah. I think Don Hamilton went on.
Okay.
It, yeah. I think. I'm not sure about Frank Sanders.
That's what I was wondering about the Sanders, see if any of those Sanders. Because I feel like where Jim Strickland would go, Frank Sanders would like to
go. Yeah, that's right. And I don't think Jay Strimmel went on that trip. Chuck Dixon might have gone. But yeah, my recollection of who went other than Paul and Jim is a little bit vague on that.
This is like a Hall of Fame, a Hall of Susquehanna Fame, Temagami canoe trip.
Yeah.
That's pretty, that must have been an impactful trip. If they all went on it, every single person on that list has continued their involvement with Susquehanna for decades.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So I've been involved at Susquehanna for 10 years now. Susquehanna has been around for 75 years, and I hear names often, like yours, of folks that have been in this Susquehanna Hall of Fame. So it's neat to hear of one trip containing all of those all-stars.
Yeah. Les Clemens was here, and I think
he just won't go away.
I was a program director, and he was a counselor. I remember days working with him and many others, but I was here when girls camp first year and didn't get to stay on the work staff. And I was kind of upset about that. But eventually I worked my way into staying for the whole summer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So when you say first year at girls camp, Dan, that's a matter of some controversy around here.
Is it?
Because there's a lot of varying degrees of when the first year of girls camp
happened. We can't agree on the date.
Yeah. I think there may have been multiple starts. Some were sanctioned formally by Susquehanna, and some perhaps not. And we have promotional materials from multiple different eras that say they're the first girls' camp. When was your first girls' camp? Could you give us a year?
I was probably 69, maybe.
Okay. It's your way off.
Maybe 70. And it was Don Dixon was the director of that camp, as I knew. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because, you know, giving your start date of 1965 already puts you beyond when some of the original girls' camp people believe girls' camp first started. Though some of the first years of girls' camp sound really terrible. They took them up to the lake. Lake Hammond? Is that what the lake is up by Mansfield? Is that, Dave, do you know?
I'm not sure.
There's a lake up near Mansfield, and they just kind of went up there for the week, then came back. And I know at least my mother is not fond of those years of girls' camp.
Yeah. So I don't know about those. Yeah, for sure. Because I would have been a youngster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I heard earlier that there was a male program director for girls' camp. Is that right?
That's correct.
The summer program director, what was it? And did you fill that role?
I was never the girls' program director.
Okay.
Correct. And I think after a couple of years, it's changed to a lady director.
Sure.
I was most roles, but not that one.
Sure.
Yes.
So you had mentioned that your goal was to stay as long as possible every summer at Susqua. Why do you think that was? What kept you wanting to stay here? Because we have a lot of the staff that are the same way. Seems like Peter will just let anyone stick around all summer. Yeah. No offense to our staff who are listening. So what made you want to stay at Camp Susqua?
Well, and before you answer this too, I think this is important too, because like identifying the secret sauce of Susqua is like really, for recruiting purposes, that is something we really want to know. This summer, for example, we had a number of staff. They start as early as they can during pre-camp, you know, in May. And this year we allowed a number, we needed them. We had, I think, eight staff that stuck around through the week after the 75th.
Right.
So all in all, that's a little over 20 weeks.
Yeah.
And we had to send them home. I mean, I think they would have, they'd all still be here if they could.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a few things. I felt it was meaningful work, say in the pre-camp time, things I enjoyed doing, building and constructing and all of those kinds of things. I was given those kinds of opportunities to do those. That I was valued for that, certainly. And just the friendships that you came back to, people you came back to work with, certainly was important. And that's why even the winter camps were so valuable, because it was a chance halfway through the year to reacquaint with people that you really had. I think it's the same thing with the staff as it can be with a camp as opposed to, say, a school, where you go home at night, you know, you part ways, the next day you come back. And that's not the case here. It's the 24-hour compressed time together is, I think, has a different impact on people. Hard to reproduce anywhere else.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, because I feel like those are the same reasons still today that our most committed staff keep coming back. And I recall, you know, there are some friends I made at camp that, in terms of just like weeks of the year that I was in their presence, it was a fraction of some acquaintances I knew elsewhere. But the nature of the pressure cooker at camp made those relationships much closer than any of those others.
Yeah, you're working together, you're playing together, you're living together, you're worshiping together. I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that it becomes like your family, I think, which is a different than, I mean, I've had a number of jobs, but I don't think I ever really thought of, for the most part, most jobs I've had, while I could become very close to my coworkers and you do develop strong bonds with them, I don't think I ever really felt like they were family. But here, I mean, you're here for a week, and it's like all these other counselors that you're with are suddenly your brothers. You know, it's a different scenario, and it's hard to want to leave that.
Definitely.
So I never had the privilege of meeting the legendary Chief Bob. What do you think made him such a great camp director for the first several decades of Susqua's existence?
Assuming that he was.
It's funny, because he wouldn't always have acknowledged that. You know, he knew that he took on a lot of responsibilities that weren't really his forte, but somebody had to do them. I think what made him a great camp director is he was all in, you know, whatever it took. And Esther, of course, was there by his side and a willing participant as well. I mentioned to Peter earlier today that the little things mattered to Chief Bob. So, you know, the flowers around the camp, the cleanliness, the way people were hosted, and the quality of the food, and how it was served. All of those things mattered to him. So it wasn't just a tent camp, you know, out in the woods. It really, I think, was the foundation for leading to camp being the retreat center it can be today, and all of those things. I think all of that is found back into Chief Bob's leadership, really. You know, and that's maybe on the management side. Of course, his theology worked out in a camp setting. you know, and he had very specific ideas about what chapel should be and how it what should be taught there, and how that would lead to young boys or boys opening their minds and their hearts to, you know, spiritual things, and wasn't just Bible stories. He really thought that there was an order to the way things should be, the teaching should be. And so chapel was very specifically, there were specific expectations given to chaplains as to what they should be doing in chapel.
What were some of those commitments or expectations that he communicated?
Yeah. So again, it would have been more to introduce them to God and his, how big God is, and creation being a part of that as well. It wasn't an opportunity to just go through, say, the parables or some Bible stories. He wanted it to be a focus on God, the Creator. And, you know, in a week's time in the six chapels that were available or something, that's what he would want. And so we had chaplains who did things like 30 Hugham Street, the three O's, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, and then holy, unchangeable. And so that was the, I remember that very clearly as one of the chaplains' acronym for the week. And that fit exactly what Chief Bob would have wanted.
Well, and I think that like goes back to the origin, those four like standards when Susqua was first created. They had these, you know, four goals in mind. The first one was of prime importance is who God is.
Right.
And we, you know, when we talk to chaplains now, I kind of, we've almost turned into a, not a joke, because it's not a joke, but it's a Genesis 1 first, John 3:16 second.
Yeah.
And the idea is that, like, you know, we want children to learn who God is, because the more you learn about who God is, the more you will want to have a relationship with that God, because how can you not?
Yeah.
But then, you know, and then you introduce the, well, here's why we can't have a relationship with God, because that's got to be part of the story too.
Yeah.
But then also, and here's why, you know, here's what God has done so that we can have a relationship with God. But really that foundation of learning about who God is, I mean, I don't want to discount the great testimony and witness of so many wonderful Christians who have clung to Christ, grasped onto the idea of John 3:16, God loved the world so much he gave his only son, and believing on Christ is believing on Christ. I think there's, you know, no doubt about that. But that being said, having the foundation for that belief is really important. You're going to be so much stronger, and I think you're going to appreciate the sacrifice of Christ more when you understand God as creator, when you understand God as holy, and those things become so much more meaningful when the bigger God is to you, the bigger God's grace is to you too. And I think that's, that's the commitment we've tried, try to continue that. Cause I do think we stand by that idea that, our prime importance is who God is. And then the second thing is only God can open the hearts of his children.
Right.
And then the other two are more practical, but those two theological statements, I think that really does set Susqua apart from many other Christian organizations, but especially Christian camps.
Sure.
I think that's,
and it's borne out in the hymns that are selected for chapel as well, that they're reinforcing that point of, starting point.
There's nothing like singing "This is my Father's World" or "For the Beauty of the Earth" when you're out in Chapel of the Pines on Sunday morning. I mean, it's just those hymns hit differently when you're like in the midst of God's creation as you've just walked by
you
the
have
white lilies.
Visual examples of the very words of the hymns you're singing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that you can't learn about God's creation in the four walls of a church in the middle of a city. You absolutely can. But when you're in the midst of a valley that is as beautiful as it is here at Susqua, hearing stories of creation, when you hear the frogs and the pond and all these things, it really, I mean, I think it has a really big impact.
Sure does, yeah.
So I thought maybe we could close by sharing some thankfuls.
Was thankfuls a thing when you were on staff here? This might be beyond Dan's.
Okay, so this is a more recent tradition. We are a bit Pharisaical about our rules when we do them.
This is where the legalism of Susqua shines through.
Hardcore. Right. This is now during the summers, a tradition where every night our support staff will get together for devotions, and then each person will share something they're thankful for. But we attach a lot of extraneous rules to it just to express our inner Pharisee as as much as possible. And we'll...
You can only be thankful this way, Dan. There are very specific ways in how you can show your gratitude to God.
So we'll require our staff to only pick something that happened to them that day. It has to be specific, and they can't repeat anything else that someone else has said.
And limit one.
And right.
Can I be thankful for one
thing? A limit to one thing. So can I just ask what you're thankful for today?
And I don't know if it'll fit all the rules.
Well, it has to. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
All right.
You have to think of something else.
So, so I'm thankful for Peter's leadership at Camp Susqua.
Aw.
Does that fit the rule?
It's a little vague. It's a little more vague than we would normally allow. Can you give an example maybe of something Peter has done
my head today,
that you're thankful for?
So, I'm thankful today to have talked with Peter and to gain a greater appreciation for his leadership.
It's never a bad idea to,
to puff up the
director's ego.
Director.
We're going to be much easier on our thankful guidelines that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I really enjoyed getting the chance to sit down with Chief Dan, and I hope you enjoyed listening in. If you'd like more information about Camp Susqua, you can visit our website at susqua.org. That's SUSQUE.org. Or find us on Facebook or Instagram. Just search Camp Susqua in the search bar. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.